Hey, dude, guess what tonight? Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for Piccolo and all of Namek. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by, we got co-host over here. We got co-host Jason Razorman, Cumulus Frisbee.
Whoa, you brought some of the old ones back, sounds like.
Mm-hmm, we had to bring it hard. This is episode 199. We had to bring it in. And we also got Mr. Rod Sterling here to introduce you as well.
The reluctant gentleman with the sizable mouth is Mr. Frisbee.
That was overtly sexual, but coming from Rod Sterling, ooh, I'm all a flutter now. We got other reasons to be a flutter this episode because we're joined by your junk food dinner co-host, Sean Byron. How's it going, Sean?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, guys. I would say, though, that the fluttering of the hearts is not necessary. I do appreciate it, but please, come on. We're friends here.
You get us a flutter anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shot it down all you want. We're still tickled.
That's true. It's your first time on the show over here, so, you know, we're a little bit nervous. We got butterflies in our belly.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first non-JFD podcast ever, so a lot of firsts this evening.
That's true. It's a very exciting time in your life and in our lives.
Mm-hmm. The last time we all were on something together was for a junk food dinner. I think it was the apocalyptic episode. We did a man, boy and his dog, Miracle Mile, and something else, right?
I think that is the last time that we were all together via Skype. But lest you not forget, Mr. Frisman, there was a time, there was a place in a magical garage of sorts in which we all podcasted in the meat space.
Fuck yeah, there was. That meat space ruled. Yeah, it was all the four of us from Junk Food Dinner. Also had Kevin Moss, and we're all hunkered down in your lovely garage. It was actually really nice.
Yeah, that was a wild time. Oatmeal beers were spilled, movies were vaguely remembered, and a lot of confusion and awkward glances were shared.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it, except I mostly already have.
I obviously did completely, so now I have to deal with those memories all over again.
I'm sorry for drudging them up.
No, it was fucking awesome. Yeah, of course, it was around the Hollywood podcast meetup. We got to meet some other folks in around that time, but yeah, absolutely, that was one of the last times that we were all hanging out together.
Hey, speaking of podcast meetups, do we want to talk at all about last evening?
Oh, I would love to talk about last evening.
I knew that you would.
Mr. Frisbee, sadly you weren't here at this podcast meetup, an impromptu podcast meetup, but
I saw some photos of it. Though
you saw those photos on the internet?
Yeah.
Nice.
Very illicit photos.
Yeah, I didn't know that those leaked already.
Oh, speaking of leaks, Jesus.
Sean and I and the wives and Corey from the Illogical Contraption Show all went to Disneyland, and we had a fun, magical time.
And we hung out with Rod Serling, who wouldn't stop talking about you, Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
In my mouth, right?
Yeah, especially the mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty preoccupied.
You meet a guy once in a truck stop bathroom, and Jesus. Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. You went to the Captain America exhibit museum?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, you've seen Winter Soldier, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, like that exhibit that Bucky goes to? Like, that's like all of them?
Yeah, and the stinger, the post-credits scene.
Yeah, and then I think Cap goes there like earlier in the movie, but like it's like this exhibit about the history of Captain America. Like, they totally have that. It's like scaled down, of course. And then at the end, there's a dude dressed up like Captain America, and he like talks to you and hugs you. And, it was a time, Mr. Frisbee. I was freaking out.
Yeah, I bet. Did you get any good photos with the good captain?
Yeah, they took some professional photos. that we had to pay for. But I'll take a picture with my phone later. But yeah, it was like all these like little kids, you know, who were like meeting him and taking pictures with him. And he was like, you know, who's your favorite superhero? You know, how old are you? What grade are you in? And then here comes me like, I love you. You're the best.
Step aside, children.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out of here, kids. Come back when you got a Captain America tattoo.
This Captain America exhibit is the most exciting thing I've seen since that exhibit that I went to at the hip hop museum.
It was an exhibit within an exhibit about exhibit for exhibit because he heard that you liked exhibit.
Yeah,
that's the joke.
For exhibitionists, as his fans like to call themselves.
Yeah, because they like to have sex in public.
Yes.
So what else thrilling things did you get to see at Disneyland?
Well, Corey took us to this insane tiki bar that I had no idea even existed.
Yeah, the tiki room. Remember all the parrots singing up above?
Not that one. Like an actual like tiki bar for like adults who are sick of kid stuff. It's called Trader Sam's.
Right.
But yeah, it pretty much is like that tiki room, just with booze and very loud bartenders.
And I'm going to go on a limb and say there's a lot of like 60s retro furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. A whole lot. It's actually, spades. They did a really good job because it's one of those things where I think it only opened like a few years back, but it's themed exactly like they would have built it in the 1960s. Like all the furniture looks exactly like it would. And they put all these little details, like there's like a storyline to the restaurant that if you read like all the postcards that this character has sent back that are on the walls, like you can make sense of some kind of story. Pretty cool place.
Radical. Yeah. What else did you guys end up doing? Or was it just like mainly focused on Disneyland and the bar?
Well, there's
it was a lot of Disneyland. We did that Tower of Terror with Rod Serling. It was pretty spoopy.
Scared us pretty bad.
Yeah.
I rode Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And
did it make sense at all to you, or were you as fucking confused as I was the first time you wrote it?
It's really confusing. I didn't really know, like, because I don't know who the character is really. Like, I just kind of know him from pop culture. I didn't know his whole thing was that he liked to drive drunk and then go to jail and then die and then go to hell. I didn't know that was part of it.
I love that it's the end of the ride. It's like, all right, now get out. You went to hell, get out. That's the fucking ride. You can all expect this from life now.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful, magical day. You're in hell.
So many existential crises were started.
Yeah. If you actually look really closely behind that guy, whatever that British guy's name, the only dude in that ride who's like juggling mugs, if you look right over his shoulder, you can see Jean-Paul Sartre. And he's like, hell is a Mr. Toad's ride.
Yeah, it is a creepy little ride there, and it's the reason I like that ride so much is it really does kind of harken back to a time when you could turn like a drunk driving PSA into a ride and like nobody would even question it because there wasn't like a standard for what a theme park ride was. They were still figuring this stuff out. It's like, should we do a roller coaster where, you know, you drop 50 feet and that's a big thrill, or maybe we just tell kids that drinking is going to lead to persecution by Satan, you know?
Yeah, like, well, let's compare costs. A roller coaster? Jesus Christ, we can't pay for that. Lou, can you paint a devil? Hell yeah, I can paint devils. All right, we're doing the Mr. Toad's thing then. We're just going to whip it around like what were those things called? Like the wacky weasels or
the little buggies that you ride in?
Yeah, like the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is just like, it goes along a rail. It's a rail ride. And there's really not much to it. But it is just that classic sort of look and style. It is like the last surviving ride, isn't it? Or one of the last surviving rides from.
Jungle Cruise, I think, is original too. There's a few, but it's one of the ones that hasn't really been touched ever. You know, like nothing has really changed. I mean, what would you change? It's already a perfect ride.
Yeah, obviously. There's nothing confused. It's just this massively absurdist piece. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun, but it is very fucking weird. And that's part of the charm.
Yeah, it's very trippy. And also, as scary as going to hell was, I was kind of relieved when that part of the ride showed up because for the other 80% of the ride, you're in London. That was even scarier to me. I said, no, this is my worst nightmare. I hate this. So I was pleased to show up in hell at the end. I said, whew. So I'm relieved. Also, we did some other things.
Like what?
I don't know.
You can't divulge. Okay.
Can't talk
That's
about
fine.
It. Oh,
wait. You were like,
yeah, there was a mountain somewhere in space that we did.
Yeah, we did the Space Mountain. It was very scary. Like, you remember Mr. Frisbee when I was like very scared to ride it last time?
Because, yeah, and you overcame that fear. You conquered it.
Yeah, because I rode it when I was 8 and it scared me so bad.
Uh huh.
And then last year I rode it and I was like, well, this is a piece of cake, you know? Like, only a sissy would be afraid of this. But then we rode it again this time. And it was so scary, and now I'm scared of it again. I don't know what happened, but you felt the same way, right, Sean Byron? Where like it was,
yeah. Something changed on that ride, and we definitely came back a little bit different, a little bit shell shocked, and yeah, it was quite an experience this time. It might have been that we, you know, it was almost midnight, and we had had a full day of Disneyland, and I think we might have been a little bit loopy. Mm-hmm. Or it's possible that they did introduce like some kind of real trans-dimensional rift somewhere in the ride that makes it feel like a lot longer and scarier.
Ooh, you know,
it's
what?
One of the two.
I hear a lot of like Disneyland secrets. You know,
mm-hmm.
like yeah. Johnny Depp shows up in a pirate costume to reprise his role on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. There's a lot of like Mickey Mouse heads everywhere. You can get crazy stuff at the. What is it, the Cinderella dining area or whatever it is.
They have those
tunnels.
Whatever the fuck
it is. Those tunnels. Yeah, yeah. And I also heard there was like a trans-dimensional rift that can occur near midnight on the Space Mountain ride.
See, I knew it, man. Like, I knew it. Like, there was a lot of destination.
Has to be it.
That's that trans-dimensional rift shit.
Yeah, I think that they probably impregnated us with alien hybrids at the end of it. That's probably
so
part of it.
So excited for you now.
Yes, that was horrifying. Also, I can't speak for Sean Byron on this, but Corey made me drink this huge jug of whiskey, so that could have resulted in me being scared a little bit.
Was that on, like, Tom Sawyer Island or something? Where did you get a huge jug of whiskey?
At the Tiki Bar. It was, like, whiskey and, you know, like, all kinds of fruit juices and stuff. It was pretty tasty.
To be fair, though, I think that's really a question that you don't need to ask when Corey is around.
Where did you get this?
The huge jug of whiskey just comes included.
Yeah, he knows where to find those jugs of whiskey.
I was going to ask if, you know, everyone was very sober when they rode the Space Mountain ride, but I guess I don't need to ask anymore. That was...
Yeah. All indications point to not so much.
And that's probably it. That's probably why it was terrifying.
It could be. We also went to Cars Land, which was super rad. It's like this tiny little Route 66 city in the middle of everything that I don't understand why anybody would leave, because it's super cute. It has like the best ride. That Cars ride is so fun.
Yeah.
And there's like booze everywhere, milkshakes that look really super good.
They were good. And the biggest point of all is that the geography of that place is like perfect. Like, it really looks like how that Cars Land should be. And like the streets are laid out in a way that's logically consistent with reality.
Yeah, that's the thing I like most about it, is the fact that, like, you know, if you wanted to retrace Lightning McQueen's steps through Radiator Springs in the movie, you could in real life. Like, I love the geography. It's definitely a love letter to Route 66, that entire experience, I feel.
That is what I heard Shelby Cobra's talking about. Mm-hmm. So, and I trust his opinion on these matters.
As do I. Shelby Cobra's was not there. He did not come to Disneyland, though, because... I think he was stuck in kindergarten because he's a baby. Too much of a baby to enjoy Disneyland.
Yes.
So yeah, it was super fun. Disneyland's like so super fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad it was an excellent time.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
How could it not be? With Corey and Parker, the mouse, whatever the hell Goofy is, all those ducks. It's a great place.
Yeah. How about you, Mr. Frisbee? What have you been up to?
Go ahead, Frisbee. Make a speech. I've been waiting all day for this.
Thanks, Toothless Joe. I was in a Mardi Gras parade last week.
Oh, yeah?
The hell you were.
The hell I was.
Give more
That's
details.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the South. So there's this weird confusion about, you know, religion is like, is it Catholic? Is it Southern Baptist? Is it snake handling? Who knows? Let's just have a parade. So yeah, I'm living in Arkansas, and some of my friends in the greater Little Rock area decided to get to float together. And you can do your float on whatever you want. It can be something legitimate, like, hey, we're Shriners, so here's a fire truck or whatever. Or you can just make up shit and do that. It's I guess it's one of those community parades that they've been trying to kind of kickstart for the past couple of years. And this year, because the weather was so nice, and weather like everywhere else besides California has been fucking crazy, if you have not looked at the news, like it was in the upper 60s after a week of just being in the 30s, and it dropped back down to 30 next day. So it was so nice that tons of people came out. It was incredibly intimidating and wild. I did not expect the reception that we got. But yeah, our float was the Mermaids of Central Arkansas. So my friends, all lady friends, they made these great sort of makeshift dresses that had like fins at the bottom, so they looked like mermaids. And we decorated a pickup truck to look like an Under the Sea motif. We had ocean sounds, and under the ocean sounds, we had different aquatic themed songs playing, two of which were Death Clock songs, Go Into the Water. Sweet. And Mermaider, which were appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not have a physique or the appeal to pull off like a mermaid outfit. And
oh, come now. Come, I, Frisbee.
Come on, Mr.
Don't be so modest.
Yeah, come on.
Studio audience.
Oh, come now, Mr. Frisbee, you do yourself a terrible injustice.
All right. maybe next year or maybe next parade or whatever. But I dressed up as a pirate, and I was pretty happy with it. It looked good. Yeah, nice. I got to walk around, throw beads to people.
Did you see any boobies?
No, I did not see any boobies.
Oh.
Not.
Was that the intent behind the beads, though?
No, I wasn't. No, I'm not like, ladies, give it up, ladies. We've got these beads.
So what you're saying is you were not intensely disappointed that you were unable to see bare breasts.
We live in a magical age of the internet, Sean Byron. So if I wanted to see bare breasts, they're pretty well available anywhere.
I think I've heard of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That internet thing. Well, that's great, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's good that people showed up for this thing, because honestly, like, I can't imagine anything sadder than a poorly attended Mardi Gras parade. Like, parades themselves are like so festive, and Mardi Gras is such a festive time that to see like a guy in sequins or whatever throwing out beads with nobody there to catch them, that would bring like a single tear to my eye.
Yeah, it was nuts. And apparently, like, the past couple of years, it had been sort of like low number turnout. And I think it was just because it was a nice day that people came, really flooded the area. It was pretty crazy.
You know why it's been a low turnout in recent years?
Why?
We got that internet, dude. You got tits on the internet. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming to parades tits anymore.
I thought you were going to say parades are on the internet. I was like, that's probably true.
That's true, too.
You got that sweet parade app, son. You just watch parade, click the parade app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just downloaded that parade app. You know, I like it. You know, you just watch those parades. It's got a whole list of them. You know, it's like Uber. Like, it'll tell you how long the parade is going to take before it can come to you. That's a great app.
I like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a world.
Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I'm glad that you had fun on Mardi Gras. I used to love Mardi Gras stuff. There used to be, like, they used to do stuff in the Oregon District in Dayton, you know, like little parties that I used to love.
Oh, yeah? I don't think I actually participated in any of that. Like, what was it like? I mean, Oregon District is kind of like a very small, like, Beale Street. I mean, it's a one block or maybe two block flank sort of version of not even the French District. It's some amalgamation. It looks more like Beale Street. But what they do?
Well, they would like put beads on like in like Mardi Gras masks on all the like light posts and like, but the bars would put, you know, like cardboard cutouts of horns and Mardi Gras masks everywhere. That was really the extent of it, but it was very fun for me. One time, I lived way up north. The first time I left Dayton to live in a different town, I moved way up north to Saskatchewan with this girl. And then we broke up. And then so I had to move back to Dayton and live with Jono and Blake Sell. And the weekend that that happened was like Fat Tuesday weekend. Or I guess that would be Tuesday. I guess it wasn't on a weekend. But, yeah, so I was like, so like all of these people were like having like all this fun and like throwing beads everywhere and there was boobies and stuff. And like, I was just like, this is the worst day of my life, like drinking. And then, but after that year, it became really fun. It became a fun tradition where me and Jono and, sometimes Blake Sell would party, you know, have a little fun on that night. It became a fun tradition.
All right. You know? Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know?
Let me ask you this. Were any Cajun foods involved in that fun tradition?
No, they don't have Cajun foods in Dayton, Ohio, for some reason.
They not just
even,
have.
Not even during the gras?
Nah, that would be too much work. They would have to learn new recipes.
Yeah.
Dayton's not good at learning new recipes.
Build up a tolerance to spices and foods.
Yeah, they're not into spices.
Yeah.
They're more about like potato pizza.
I think they could do it, man. Like, if people could build up a tolerance to poison over time by slowly taking little bits, the people of Ohio, the good people of Ohio, I think could develop a tolerance to Cajun food. You know, just a couple granules of red pepper per day. Let's do this, Ohio.
Could be. One time I built up a tolerance to poison because I would, like, listen to their songs, like, just a little bit at a time, you know? Like, you know, whatever their songs were. I can't even think of a Poison song to finish that joke, but you understand what I'm saying.
Well, you better not listen to Poison.
Every thorn has its rose, is that one?
Huh?
Every rose has a thorn, is that a Poison song?
Yes, that is a Poison song. Talk Dirty to Me.
The only one.
Yeah, I would listen to Talk Dirty to Me in like 5 second increments to build up a
Oh man, that was Poison?
I think so.
I thought that was whatever the other band was. No. Live from the Budokan. Who is that? Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
No, those are two very different bands. I thought you were going to say, I thought that was Warrant, because Warrant and Poison are basically the same band. Motley Crue, also basically the same band as those other.
Cheap Trick is different because it's more of like a 70s rock band to me, but they did kind of jumpstart that trend of guys looking exactly like women in bands. I mean, I guess the New York Dolls did it first, but in a less sexy way.
Yeah, Cheap Trick did it in like a way that was like, not overtly sexual, like it was just like that they like seemed very comfortable in women's clothing, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
To whereas yeah. Like,
the, yeah, like don't judge me for this. This is just how I rock out.
Yeah, this is just, I'm up here. I'm playing 2 hours a night. I got to wear something comfy. Damn it.
Yeah. This shirt needs to be puffy. It must be flowing in order for me to jam out that solo.
Yeah. To whereas the New York Dolls, they looked very uncomfortable, but they also looked like they felt very sexy. So.
Yeah.
Two different styles of that.
That's why their songs are so much shorter. I mean, that's like a well-established musical fact. Short songs is because they're in those, you know, those lace tie-ups, you know?
Mm-hmm. You got to play them quick.
If you're wearing a garter belt, you're not going to be doing a drum solo.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That's one thing I've learned. That's one thing Kevin Moss knows as a drummer.
Yeah.
No garter belt sets.
Yeah,
he stopped those real quick.
Wait, can we go back to the last weekend thing before we move on? I wanted to ask, did they have like any Mardi Gras decorations in Disneyland? Any Mardi Gras parades? Like, was the light parade thing still going and they had Mardi Gras masks on or some shit?
You know, that's a great question.
Yeah, there's like a whole section of...
You would think we would know.
Yeah, there is a whole section of Disneyland that is like New Orleans and Mardi Gras-esque.
So maybe they forgot.
I'm going to be honest, I forgot it was Mardi Gras until you mentioned it. So,
well, the parade was on Saturday, so people had come out to it. I think Mardi Gras was on Tuesday. Or no, Wednesday. It was on Wednesday because officially. But all like parade stuff, even in New Orleans, it was all their stuff was over the weekend, so people could come out to it. But Disneyland might be like day of sort of thing. Like, nope, we're doing it Wednesday.
They might be, yeah, they might be hardline traditionalists over there at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
They do take their parades very seriously, so.
That's
one of
true.
the few organizations that hasn't moved to the internet for their parade-based needs.
It's weird. I mean, it seems kind of like they're up to Luddites, but they're, you know, they got their reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, you got to respect it. You know, they're sticking with their roots, but yeah, at a certain point, get with the times, Walt.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen Walt.
We're not still animating cartoons on stone tablets, right? So,
what a geezer. I think I said Wednesday. It was actually on Tuesday, the 17th. But yeah. All right. Well,
what's in a day?
Yeah. Well, yep. Speaking of days, today is the day to celebrate episode 199 of this podcast. We're going to talk about podcasting itself, and we're going to get into a segment here where each one of us will pick, you know, a person or three people. We're going to go with three, but we'll do it one at a time. And we're going to build our ideal podcast that we would want to listen to with three people from other podcast hosts, co-hosts. We're going to take them. We're going to put them into our own podcasts. So we'll do that. You know, we'll go round robin picking a not necessarily our favorite podcasters, but maybe that's the case. Or maybe just people who we think would be funny together, whatever the case may be. And also, we're going to do this as a draft. So, you know, if Mr. Frisbee picks Marc Maron before I get a chance
you're
to.
You're going
to
say that. I was like, he's going to say Marc Maron.
You're going to say, what the fuck, Frisbee? That was one of my picks. Are we cool?
That's an excellent joke.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we're gonna lock the gates on this one. We're gonna start this up. We're gonna enjoy our burritos. We're gonna say mahalo, hayam, all the other things. Yeah, we're gonna pick our three podcasters, our dream team draft, all-star draft of podcasters. Sean Byron, you are our guest, so you do get the first pick in the first round of the podcast draft, the 2015 podcast draft.
Okay, well, this is a great honor. Thank you very much, Parker Bowman. Thank you, Jason Razorman Frisman. Yeah, this I'm very glad that you guys invited me to this momentous episode. Podcasting is something that's actually kind of close to my heart. I mean, I do listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, maybe not all the crazy lo-fi indie podcasts that the cooler kids these days on their Snapchats are talking about. But, you know, I've been around the block in terms of podcasts. I was probably one of the first guys I know that was listening to podcasts. This is, sounds like a kind of dumb humble brag of some kind, but I was just in the place where I was in technology, had the first iPhone, and was a big fan of Ricky Gervais. Like, I liked that original Office series at the time. And he was a guy who had a podcast before anybody else. So I got into podcasts through Ricky Gervais way back when. But Ricky Gervais is not my pick because while I did think his Ricky Gervais show was pretty funny, and I liked the Carl Pilkington segments. I liked the way that he would rag on that guy and their Monkey News segments. Great stuff. I did quickly grow out of enjoying his stuff. When he got to the point where 99% of the time, like, his shtick was just preaching to the choir about, like, topics like atheism that, or, I don't know, just kind of solved problems in my viewpoint, I kind of got sick of him. So my pick is not Ricky Gervais, but it is the second podcast I ever listened to, one which I listen to until this day. I still listen to this every week. And that is Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo. So Jimmy Pardo is my first pick for one of these podcasters.
I liked hearing all about Ricky Gervais's podcast.
Exactly, yeah. So Jimmy Pardo, he's a local LA comedian. He's not nearly as famous as Ricky Gervais. I think he's probably most well-known now for hosting some game shows on the Game Show Network in like the 90s or something. He does the opening act for Conan O'Brien's TV tapings here. But his podcast is just like a general comedy podcast. Him, his producer, and a guest just kind of chit-chatting. It really did kind of set the standard for those LA comedy podcasts, of which there are a billion now. Every stand-up comedian seems to have a podcast. But I think he, you know, other than Ricky Gervais, he was probably like the first. And I think he's a really funny guy. I think he's got kind of funny in his bones. He's kind of just got a natural dialogue-driven approach to comedy that I think is really good. So yeah, Jimmy Pardo is my first pick for podcaster.
I know his name. I know I've seen him like probably do stand-up back in the day. He's been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, he's been around since like the 80s, like mid-80s maybe.
Okay, yeah, some early 90s like stand-up or what was that, VH1 one, Searchlight or Spotlight? Probably on something like that. I know I've heard his name outside of the podcast world. I've heard of Never Not Funny, but yeah, I'll have to give it a listen.
He's kind of famous for his crowd work type of style. So he's a comedian that doesn't really write a lot of material. You know, he's not like a Louis C.K. like writing these really finely tuned jokes, but he's the type of guy that will interact with the crowd and really kind of light up the room.
Like a classic club style sort of comedian. Yeah, this has
very much like Don Rickles. He's okay. Kind of like a modern day Don Rickles in a lot of ways.
All right, so not as racist as Don Rickles.
Yeah, he tends to shy away from calling people a hockey puck. But
all right, cool. Yeah. Very good updates then. I like what I'm hearing.
I used to listen to this show a little bit when I first started listening to podcasts, because when I first started listening to podcasts like you, Sean Byron, like there was like 7 podcasts and half of them were Harry Potter based.
Yeah.
But
you don't listen to so many of those.
Yeah. But I kind of got out of him. Doesn't he like charge like $5 a month? Isn't he like one of those guys where like you can't like listen to his podcast unless you pay for it now? Or am I wrong?
So he does 2 episodes a week, and if you want the second one, you got to pay. So you get like the one free like 90 minute a week, and then the second one, I think you pay like $30 for 6 months. So if you do the math on like the amount of content you get and you like what he's doing, like it makes sense. Like I don't pay for TV, so I found a way to justify it and be like, yeah, you know, $30 a year, I get like all this content that makes me laugh. So it's worth it for me. But yeah, I think it's kind of a weird thing to charge for podcasts. He was one of the first guys to get in, and so he kind of was lucky enough to get this window in which he can do it. And he's been doing it now for many years, and people are apparently, you know, signing up, not just me. So it's working. But yeah, some people kind of resist that whole pay model for podcasts, and I can kind of get that.
Yeah, on some it's like really absurd. Like I never really listened to Opie and Anthony, but like that Anthony Cumia guy just started a podcast because he got fired from his job, and like you have to pay for that like right off the bat for any episodes, and I think that's absurd. Like there are some podcasts I listen to where like they give out like the, you know, what the most current 6 months for free, but then if you want the archives you have to pay, and I think that's like a cool model. But
yeah, I think Marin does that. I think a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, I think Adam Carolla does that, a few others. I think that's cool.
Yeah, the other thing that Never Not Funny does that probably cost them a lot of money and probably why they charge for their episodes is they do full video. So they do like they have like a 4-camera setup in their studio, and they're cutting between, and then they upload the episode in full video. So I understand, you know, bandwidth costs and storage costs and everything. Like, it's probably not cheap to serve up, you know, these multi-gigabyte files. So I get it, you know.
It's never not cheap. Mr. Frisbee, who is your first round draft pick?
My first pick is Jeffrey Brian Davis from Harmontown, and also Whose Line Is It Anyway fame. He's the moderator. They give him another name, though. It's not coming to me.
Comptroller,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Comptroller. So basically like a co-host to Dan Harmon's ranting and raving. He's got a soothing voice. He's a snazzy dresser. He has a very good way of moving the plot along, moving the discussion along in front of a live audience and with this kind of erratic dude on his side. So I would like someone like that as part of a drafted lineup.
I hear that. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a good point guard for a podcast. He keeps things rolling, keeps it on track. Dan Harmon likes to get like super drunk and like just start rapping about gibberish. This fellow keeps him on track and stuff. I go back and forth on whether or not I like him and think he's funny. I haven't listened to Harmontown in a while though, but Yeah, I go back and forth on him. Sometimes I'm like, man, this guy's like the funniest dude. And sometimes I'm like, this guy is the worst motherfucker on earth.
Dan Harmon?
No.
Or Jeff Davis?
Jeff Davis.
Really?
Yeah.
What reasons? Yeah. What gets you so heated?
I don't know. He just rubs me the wrong way. Sometimes he's just like annoying. Like the way – sometimes – like he's good at keeping things on track. But sometimes he wants them to go on a track that I don't like, you know? Or like sometimes Dan Harmon will actually be like doing some funny gibberish that I want him to keep doing.
Oh, I see.
Stuff like that. Have you seen the Harmontown movie?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of dumb, but it's okay. That's my review.
That's a pretty good capsule review. I think I'm going to stay away from it.
It's for the best.
If it's kind of dumb, but okay, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, like the whole thing is about
Spencer, right?
Yeah, the whole thing's about Spencer. So I was like really upset to be watching this Harmontown documentary that's about Spencer.
Yeah, they had talked so much about it on their podcast. And I guess like last summer they were shopping it around, like taking it to festivals or doing, you know, exclusive screenings across the country as like another mini tour. And that's great. I just heard so much about the movie, and that was, it wasn't purely what was about every show, but it was getting kind of repetitious, and I fell out of my listening habits with it. I should probably get back into it just to see what they're up to over there. I know, like, Dan and Aaron end up getting married or something to that effect.
Indeed, they did.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do I have to have watched Community ever in order to enjoy Harmontown? Because I have no experience with either.
I don't think so. I think a better route might be to check out like some Channel 101 stuff, which is much shorter. And all that stuff is still up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started this Channel 101 thing, which is like all these short films, like a short film festival kind of thing that takes place monthly.
Yeah, I think I heard of that. It was pretty like influential, like when it came out at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm into Dan Harmon from what I've seen. I don't know much about his co-host, but I probably will get around to listening to Harmontown eventually, just based on the fact that so many people around me are into it. But yeah, Dan Harmon seems like a great guy to me. He's always showing up at CineFamily for events and being a cool dude. Like, he's the type of guy that will just hang out all night with anybody that wants to talk to him and seems completely unpretentious. So I like that about him, and so... whatever co-host he's picked is probably a cool dude, too.
Yeah, Dan Harmon's cool. His episode, oddly enough, of the WTF podcast with Marc Maron is one of my favorite podcasts of all time. Although it happened like 3 years ago, so it's way in the archives and you're going to have to pay for it now.
Is it better than the Mahakal episode of Junk Food Diner?
No, of course not. That's the best episode of any podcast.
What about your first pick, Parker?
My first round pick may not come as any surprise to you, especially Mr. Frisbee.
Because it's Marc Maron. Because fuck.
Because Marc Maron, I took him.
WTF, Parker.
It is a former co-host of the Red Bar radio show, which is a radio show I used to listen to a lot, but it super sucks now. And former host of his own podcast, which was called The David Angelo Show. My first round pick is David Angelo, the funniest man alive. I love David Angelo. Mr. Frisbee, you know this?
Yeah, I'm aware.
I think he's super funny. He makes a lot of puns. His call-in, when he had his own show, you could call into the show by calling like 1-800, like 222-JOKE. And I think that's super funny. So much so that when I got a new phone recently, I tried to get the numbers that spell out joke, but they weren't available to me. Also, he had a website called Jokeaholics Hilarious, and that's funny to me. Everything he does is funny. And, a lot of, when he had his own show, was him just, like, making puns and then telling his guests that they should invest in gold because the end of the world is coming up, and that's funny to me. I think he's great. I don't know. You can't find his podcast anymore. And also, you can't really find his co-hosting on the Red Bar show anymore because that's all in the archives. But I have all that stuff, Mr. Frisbee. If you need it, I can send you 30 gigabytes of David Angelo stuff. I know you might want that.
I think I'll put this on the back burner with the Harmontown movie. And I'll just give it some time to mellow.
That's understandable.
I like this guy. I didn't hear his podcast. I didn't even know that he had one. The way that I heard about him is that Pete Holmes, I think, is a huge fan of David Angelo and always like references him on You Made It Weird and had him on the show once. And that was a pretty funny episode. So I like him. I like these type of comedians that are like real joke comedians that where it's kind of meta that it's a little bit about a commentary on the form of joke telling itself. Guys like Dana Gould, I think, has a little bit of that. Who's the other guy? Who was the guy? Andy Kindler. He's got a little bit of that. Indeed. So I like these type of guys. I'm totally checking out his podcast. It does raise a good point, though, about these podcasts that kind of drop off iTunes and then drop off the internet and then you can never get them again. Like, I hope that there's somebody out there archiving these early days of podcasting for future generations to enjoy.
Yeah, totally. It's a bummer to me when podcasts I like just kind of go away immediately. Me and Mr. Frisbee went into a podcast called Planned Brotherhood
I was wondering if you're going to bring this up. Yeah.
Yeah, they just disappeared. Yeah, they're just gone. That's why I hate Libsyn, because it's like when you stop paying, they just take your podcast away and it's gone forever. You got like it's an extortion thing. Like, you got to pay them forever if you want your podcast to keep existing.
And it's a rare sort of thing, since when we think of the internet, we usually think, oh, if it's on the internet, it's on there forever. And this is almost like a sort of broadcasting that we're not typically very familiar with, having grown up with VHS and the ability to record and store and have like accessible memory for any sort of media, anything that we wanted, really. And even today, it's, by and large, much easier to do that stuff than it has ever been before. I've been able to find, like, old TV shows and shit that I thought I'd never see again. And back in, like, the 70s, that wasn't even possible, 70s or 60s. So when you saw something, that was it. It was on TV and it happened, and you just had to, pray that you were there to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the closest thing that we have to that sort of experience. So I'm not saying it's great, but it's it does kind of make me appreciate those that I actually have access to now, because, in a few years, they might just be erased forever.
That's true. I bought a external hard drive just to keep all the episodes of podcasts I like in case they're not on the internet anymore.
Yeah, nice. And that's the only way to do it, because like, there's no other archives happening out there, obviously. Because I was thinking about Planned Brotherhood, like I do every day when I wake up. And I was trying to remember some of the episodes and how fucking funny they were. And yeah, it's just like a very – just a few moments that I have of that show and getting kind of bummed. Like, oh, yeah, it's all gone now.
It's all gone. I know that Mike Dick likes that show. Maybe we can – talk to him. Maybe he's got some episodes stored away that we can get.
Yeah.
I've got like 10 of them on my computer, but that's not enough. They did like 800 episodes, but...
Yeah, I think Mike's got some on cassette in one of his closets.
Yeah. He's got them on VHS for some reason. You just put the VHS in, you just listen.
He dubbed them down.
Yeah. What is your second round draft pick, Sean Byron?
Well, my second round pick, let me give you a little bit more context, as I did last time. It won't be about Ricky Gervais. Like I said, I got into podcasts, listening to Jimmy Pardo. I started to listen to a bunch more podcasts from there. Comedy Bang Bang was a big one for me. And then Earwolf happened and, a million other podcasts. But I never thought that I would become a podcaster myself. And it was kind of a weird journey to get there. I was into cult movies. I was watching that Not Quite Hollywood documentary. It led me to see Dead End Drive-In, which is a really cool Ozploitation movie, like apocalyptic, where these kids get locked into a drive-in and have to, fight their way out. It's a Brian Trenchard-Smith movie. And that led me to the IMDb board for Dead End Drive-In, which led me to Junk Food Dinner, and my second pick, which is Mark Fredo, is my second pick for podcaster I want to throw into this pool of ultimate podcasting. I miss the guy. He was pivotal in getting me interested in you know, junk food dinner, like, you know, as a podcast, just as a listener. And then later, you know, he was nice enough to ask me, hey, do you want to come in here when I can't do it anymore? I think he's a funny guy. I think he's way funnier than he realizes. And like so many of the funny things that have happened on JFD over the years, go back to Mark for me, you know, like midgets being the rats of humans is a great line. I think Parker's a big fan of the sexually identifying as a surfer bit, which also cracks me up. And who could forget the world famous Donald Lloyd of the Junk Food Dinner Warehouse. So I think Mark Fredo is a real talent. It's sad to me that he's given up podcasting, that he's not doing any podcasts anymore.
Never. I don't think he's even touched another steam-powered engine microphone.
That's the issue, man. Like, I wish he would just get back in the game. Like, stop dicking around out there in New York, Mark. Get in the game. Be a podcaster again. That's my challenge to you.
Mm-hmm. I like this a lot.
That's a good pick. I like that, Mark. Fredo. I didn't know him before we started doing the Junk Food Diner, and I think he's a sweet bro. We don't see eye to eye on Cabin in the Woods. I think it's the greatest movie of all time. He thinks it's the second greatest movie of all time, and we just butt heads over that. yeah, Mark Fredo is a super sweet bro. He's super funny. And he sexually identifies as a surfer, and that's super hilarious to me. Do you have any funny Mark Fredo stories, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, but it's not from Junk Food Dinner. It was one of our first episodes when he guested on.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we... Do we create character sheets? No, we took a quiz to see which D&D characters we would be.
Oh, yeah, which alignment we would be.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just very funny throughout that episode. So even without the context of like having to watch three movies, then it was still like good and funny because we were just trying it out then. Mm-hmm. I know he hasn't helped like start any other podcasts or anything like that or been on any, so it'd be nice to hear him like on like an open conversation sort of podcast again.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a super funny dude, like you said. He's no Ricky Gervais, but you know, he's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also remember like about. Sorry. We were watching it was in Cincinnati, and I think Kevin was hosting this film watching thing. Like there was television in the backyard, and it started to rain, and then we started to watch movies in the living room, and it was for I think the next podcast that you guys were doing. It was like the only time that you guys got to watch movies together. Or hang out, like, for that matter, because you were about to leave to California.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark was, I don't think he was planning on going to New York at that time. Well, maybe he was.
I think he was,
anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, but we ended up watching, like, the Peanut Butter Solution.
It is Solution. Yeah.
The Peanut Butter Solution.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The final Peanut Butter Solution.
Yeah, they solved that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were watching that, and, like, all of us, Blake Selt was there, and a couple other folks and friends, and we're all just riffing at this TV, whatever movie was on at the time. And yeah, it was just super funny. Like everybody there was hilarious. It was, but Mark especially, really good stuff.
Yeah, it was super fun. That was the most humid day that has ever happened in the history of the world. And I think everybody was just like soaked completely through their clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Even the rain was just like kind of useless. It's like, ugh. Gross. It just feels like warm water being poured on me.
Yeah, it was awful. Also, that day, Blake Sell gave me a copy of, because that was like episode 10 of Junk Food Dinner. And Blake Sell gave me a copy of Nightmare City. He was like, you have to do this on Junk Food Dinner. And here we are 5 years later. I have not done Nightmare City.
That's pretty sweet. We should do it, actually. That's
yeah. A cool movie. Yeah, maybe I'll do it. Like, yeah, like I'll do it for whatever the 11th episode is after our anniversary, because then that will be exactly 5 years after Blake Sell gave that to me. Exactly half a decade.
What's funny is that have we done Demon Queen on the show? I feel like we've done Demon Queen on the show.
No Demon Queens.
Oh, we haven't. Well, let's do Demon Queen because that uses the same exact cover art. They just stole it from Nightmare City. So we should do that first.
All right. That sounds pretty good.
All right.
Mr. Frisbee, who's your number two draft pick?
Number two draft pick is Roxy from was from Acid Pop Cult, but also from Trash Video podcast. Now with Seth, part of the Sleazoid City podcast family.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, another person with another great voice. Never met the person, or I don't think I've seen a photo of her either. Maybe on no. probably a snazzy dresser, though, like Jeff Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing they've got that in common, too. And yeah, just a sharp cutting wit. I think they'd be able to just be very snazzy and sharp together. It'd be a really fun podcast to listen to.
That would be a good one. I'm desperately behind on the Trash Video, but I used to listen to Ron Acid Pop Cult a lot. And I'm up to like episode 5 or something of Trash Video, but I'm desperately behind. Roxy's great. She knows a lot about horror movies. She's mm-hmm. fun. She's always down for a funny yuck-em-ups. I respect that. I think she's great. This is a great pick.
Yeah, this is a really solid pick that I didn't even consider, and I feel bad. I do like the Trash Video podcast quite a bit. It's one of those ones that I always put on. You know, it's one that I don't really delay and just put on during my commute, and it's yeah, she's great. She's she brings a kind of a lighthearted and casual approach to the material that I like. So, and sharp dresser, I kind of have always imagined that too. So, I like yeah, this sharp dressing theme.
That yeah, you're together. For completely oral experience of just listening to a podcast, I'm kind of hoping that everybody on this show looks as sharp as possible. So that's I think that's a good thing.
That's understandable, especially, you know, Jeff Davis, he's got that experience with doing the live podcast. So you'll need to do some live podcasts and you'll need to be sharply dressed for that.
Yeah. And I think she would really shine with that, too, because, I mean, as a pop call is like her in a group. And so is Trash Video. So, yeah, I think having that in front of an audience would be a lot of fun. It'd be diggable. That's my other caveat for this, is that it needs to be like a live studio audience podcast.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. What about your second pick?
My second pick is also a lady. It's a lady who co-hosts my all-time favorite podcast in the whole wide world, Grandma's Virginity. Is Jackie,
oh, yeah.
Jackie Buscarino.
Yeah. She's great.
She is the absolute funniest. It's very funny when she's trying to be funny. She's very funny when she absolutely hates the show she's on, which is most of the run of that podcast. And yeah, like, I mean, it's like, she's so funny because like, they'll do like this whole thing, like they'll build up this whole segment. Like I'm re-listening to them again. And that like, she always complained that nobody would ever talk to her. So they came up with a segment called, What's Going On in the World, where Jackie would just talk about things, you know, like whatever she wanted. And then, but like every time they would do it, like they'd be like, all right, what's going on, Jackie? And she'd be like, I don't know, nothing really. It was the best thing. And it wasn't like, that's like not a bit. Like that was just her, like not caring about being on the podcast. And I think that's very funny. And I think that a lot of times that probably would not be funny. Like if I was listening to other podcasts and somebody was visibly not caring about being on it, I think that would be a bummer. But it's super funny.
Yeah, for a show whose crutch was a soundboard of fart noises and like vomit sounds, having Jackie there just made it that was the drama. That was the best part of that show. Like there was a lot of really great parts, like the Mario voice and what was the rapper's name?
Psychic abilities
and all that good stuff. But it was like, yeah, the weirdness of Ryan and Justin, but Jackie just getting fed up with it, sometimes actually leaving mid-recording, was like, that was the show. It was just like, is Jackie going to stay for this entire bit of insanity, or is she just going to get fed up and leave? Is she going to try to play along with something and then get upset when it goes too far? It was really funny stuff.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard this podcast yet. So again, this is one where you kids with your indie podcasts, and I'm not cool enough. But I do like the idea of a kind of like a freewheeling approach to podcasts where people can kind of come in and out. And there's not a whole lot of podcasts that manage to pull that off. I feel like a lot of podcasts feel pretty structured and It's kind of lame because, you know, this is a form where there really are no limits. There are no boundaries. There's no content restriction or format restriction. You can do whatever you want. So when you do get people who just kind of approach it in a different light, or even if that light is not taking it as seriously, it can, you know, result in some pretty interesting stuff.
Totally. I think Grandma's Virginity is like, it's sort of like what makes Howard Stern great, where it's like half of it is like just jokes about like drinking cum and farts and stuff. And then the other half is like the hosts having like real serious dramatic beef with each other. And like the juxtaposition of those two things are just insane, like insanely fun to listen to, I think.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there was a podcast for a while. I think it's on hiatus or maybe canceled now, called Comedy and Everything Else with the comedian Jimmy Dore. And there was a bit of that in there, too. That was like a long-running show where I think Todd Glass was his co-host. And they developed some animosity, and I think eventually Todd Glass left the show. But there was a good run there where the two guys were kind of at each other's throats, like in a real way. But it led to some interesting episodes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's always fun to listen to. Like when Sawyer's on Kissing Contest and Don and Mike just hate him. It's always fun.
So much love.
They're very good.
A show called Kissing Contest.
They're very good friends. So yeah, Sean Byron, what is your third round draft pick?
My third round draft pick is Dead Harris Whittles.
He's dead.
It's very sad. I actually did pick Harris Whittles earlier in the week before he died. Dude died on Thursday. This is a Saturday record, so it's kind of a fresh wound. I really like this guy a lot. I thought he was fucking hilarious. I probably first heard of him through the Comedy Bang Bang podcast on Earwolf. But he went to go on and do like a lot of stuff with Scott Aukerman. Most famously, they hosted a podcast called Analyze Fish together, which was a really funny premise for a show that resulted in a lot of really funny episodes. But the premise was Harris Whittles, now dead of a drug overdose, believe it or not, was a fish fan, believe it or not. And he was trying to convince Scott Aukerman, hey, I like fish, you should like fish too. And so they would listen to fish songs, and Aukerman would be like, I still don't like fish, but maybe next week I might. But it was a really funny conceit for a show. And they put on an episode that I think is probably the finest hour in podcasting to date, which was their Live at Madison Square Garden episode, where basically, you know, Aukerman had never been to a live fish show. So Harris Whittles brought him along together to this New Year's Eve concert at Madison Square Garden with all of his drugged out friends. And so the whole episode is kind of like this gonzo journalism style coverage of this concert experience where, you know, they're pre-gaming before the show at some hotel room in Manhattan, getting drunk and smoking weed. And then they go down to the show and people are, you know, popping pills and, you know, getting wild as you do at a fish show. But just kind of the commitment to just honesty that Harris Whittles brought, not to just that episode, but really all the comedy that he did on Earwolf, I thought was just really, kind of remarkable. And he also was on a most recent episode of You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes, where he talked about his drug addiction problems. And it was a really great episode. It's like 2 hours of him telling, like, in plain detail, like, here's what it's like to be hooked on heroin, and here's the crazy shit that I've done, like, over the past couple years because of it. And, you know, at times it's fucking hilarious, even though he's talking about, yeah, I almost died, and I might die soon, and he did die. So that sucks. But, yeah, super funny guy, super honest guy. Hope it's not too much of a downer to pick a dead man, but Harris Whittles was and is my pick for the third man in this slot.
Well, this is a real bummer.
Yeah. Well, good night, everybody.
Yeah. See you later. Sorry. See you next week.
There's a real Katie Rotz over here.
Did you guys listen to any of his stuff, though?
No, I had it, but I heard this news. I know he was also in production, like with Parks and Recreation. Guy is like a month older than me, and he sounds way more accomplished, aside from, like, you know, this.
Being dead.
Being dead.
Yeah.
From, like, drug
abuse. And he accomplished that before you, too. Jesus.
I know.
How did this guy not get done before you?
I'm really far behind. I'm just looking for that end goal marker, though. So this guy's, like, he was out in L.A. doing, like, production work, some stand-up, too. And one of his recent stand-up bits was actually, like, without being clean, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he had decided to get sober, and he's like, yeah, life's pretty good sober.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I watched Parks and Rec for a while, but then it got kind of real bad. I know that Pete Holmes talks about him a lot. I haven't listened to that podcast he was on, but I just listened to You Made It Weird recently, where he had Drew Michael on, who's a comedian I like a lot, and they were talking about him a little bit. So I kind of know who he is, but, like, not really. Like, I don't follow him on Twitter or anything, but a lot of people who I think are funny are sad that he's dead. So
yeah, he was kind of one of those, like, a little bit of a comedian's comedian type of guys where he would go up and, like, half the crowd would be like, who the hell is this guy, and not be impressed. But the comedians in the room would always love the material that he would do. But yeah, check out that You Made It Weird. If you're going to check out anything, that's a good starting point, because it's like all him, you know. It's just like 2 hours of him talking. And it's crazy too, because so as part of his recovery process, he was working with the Scientology community. And so you'll have to listen to the episode to get the full thing, but he got invited to the Scientology Celebrity Center in LA, which is like this kind of semi top secret place. And he goes into detail about like what it's actually like in that Scientology world. So I'm not even trying to make light of the situation. I literally, like, when it happened, the first thing that I thought was like, shit, he just talked a lot of shit about Scientology on a podcast like a week ago, and now he's dead. So that's weird. But obviously he was also on heroin. So I'm not trying to make something crazy. Yeah.
I was going to ask if that had come up at all, like as some sort of conspiracy or weird sort of plot to, you know.
I haven't heard anybody else mention it yet, but again, I don't think that's too plausible. I know that the Scientologists have done some crazy shit harassing people, but I don't think that they're going to kill a guy. At least I hope not.
Well, yeah, I can tell you as a Scientologist, sort of.
Oh, it came out finally.
I'm out. Well, I went to go visit them like 2 years ago as a goof in Las Vegas. And I wrote down, like, you have to, like, write down your address and stuff. Like, because, like, I wanted them to do the interview thing with me, you know, like, to tell me how many mitochondrions I have or whatever it is that they do.
Yeah.
And I wrote down my address, but I only wrote down the street. I didn't write down the city or anything because I was just there as a goof. And just about a month ago, I received – and this was 2 years ago. But just about a month ago, I received a handwritten letter from somebody at the Scientology place saying, you know, on your thing, you didn't leave what city you were from. But I found, you know, there's only 3 cities in America where that have this address, these numbers and street names. So I sent a letter to each one of them, and hopefully this finds you. So they're pretty intense people.
That is some creepy shit right there.
They definitely murdered this man.
It was nice knowing you, Parker.
They're going to kill me now that I told you this.
Yeah.
This is the Scientology podcast curse now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they're not going to kill me because I'm going to join up. You know, I'm going to accept their offer. So,
well, it was still nice knowing you, Parker.
Goodbye forever.
That still applies. Yeah.
You're going to see me as you know, I'm going to have like 3 lines in a Tom Cruise movie coming up. So you'll see me then.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Maybe you can play sitar on the new Beck album.
Yeah, that would be good. And then Kanye West will talk shit about me, my sitar playing.
He talks shit about all sitar playing.
Yeah, that's true. Mr. Frisbee, who's your third pick? Do they play sitar?
I don't think so, but man, this guy's a mean tongue. It's Kid Fury from The Reed. He knows how to talk some trash about people in a very witty, funny, snazzy way. He's also snazzy. I've seen this person in interviews, and yeah, he's a snazzy dresser. So we got the dream team of snazzy dressers, presumably, if Roxy's also a snazzy dresser, not doubting, but still. And smooth voices also. He's got another smooth voice. So it's going to be a great show where people basically talk about how snazzy they are and talk trash about other people. It's going to be good. Have you heard The Reed? Have you heard of Kid Fury?
I've not heard of any of this, but I love when people talk trash.
Yeah, it's The Reed as in like the it used to be like just the drag community's reading is fundamental if you ever watched RuPaul's Drag Race or anything.
Shouldn't it be the listen?
No, when you read somebody, you're reading like the character that they put forward, and you read them like a book. So you basically point out everything that's off or unsavory about them, usually to their face or to your friends, more to your friends. So that's what he and his co-host do. And
well, that sounds pretty intense.
It's great. It's really super fucking funny. And it's more often with like public figures, not specifically celebrities all the time, but a lot of celebrities. And yeah, he's just a great wit, very, very fast, very funny. And yeah, it'd be a great match with this.
So it's kind of like a Dean Martin roast scenario?
Not like Dean Martin's sort of humor, but same general concept of like giving people shit. Eyebrows?
Yeah. Is it? It's not the same humor, but is it the same eyebrows? That's what I was going to ask. Dean Martin has great eyebrows. Am I alone?
Oh, yeah. He was always squinting. So I guess he needed good eyebrows to make up for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was same idea. It's just that they'll be way more cutting about it rather than like Don Rickles calling people a hockey puck. I know we brought that up earlier, but that's what I remember from Dean Martin roasts.
Deserves being brought up again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like this. I'll check this out. I like insults.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I regret that I once again have not listened to this one yet. I guess this really does go to illustrate the fact that, hey, there's a lot of podcasts out there.
Absolutely. Talking about like the early days of it, I had no idea there was so few, and now it's just easy to see like that there's so fucking many. It's such an accessible format.
That's true. Speaking of accessible, here's my number three pick. Is the smartest man in the world. Dr. Drew, also the most attractive man in the world. He's from the Dr. Drew podcast. You might have heard of him, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Yep. I really like him. I grew up like totally listening to Loveline, and between Loveline and Howard Stern, that's like kind of why I like listening to people talk. And I think Dr. Drew is like really super like underratedly like smart and funny. And I think he does himself a disservice by doing so many reality shows and hosting a show on like CNN or whatever it is, because he's better than that. But just listening to him just talk on a podcast is like super great, because he's very interesting and smart. And I think he would go well with this crew of yuck-em-ups.
Yeah, I agree. He's just as much of an old hand at podcasting as Adam Carolla is, probably more so since he stuck around with the actual radio show of Loveline for a longer time than Adam did.
Yeah, and he started doing it before Adam Carolla was on the show.
There you go. So he is the wise man podcaster. He's been around and doing some form of it for longer than really anybody else in the like the talk radio format. And yeah, I agree. He's super funny, and just remembering from Loveline, he was always great on that, especially just interacting with Adam and other guests who, you know, don't have the same background, medical background that he does. So it was great to hear his adaptability to all of that. It'd be really fun.
Yeah, I guess the only question is whether or not he can get Harris Whittles off of the junk.
Yeah.
I like Dr. Drew. I didn't listen to Loveline as a kid. I did watch that TV version. I don't think we got it on the radio out in Boston, but I watched that MTV version quite a bit, and you know, since then I've always liked him. He pops up now and again on podcasts. I think he was on What the Fuck recently, and that was a pretty good episode. But I think to some extent he's a little bit like in love with his own fame. You know what I mean? And that, I don't know. I get that impression lately that he just really wants to be more and more famous. Like he's kind of strikes me as the type of guy that might get cosmetic plastic surgery later in life.
I was just going to say, the exact same thing. He's like, he's going to go Mickey Rourke soon, or, you know, turn into a cat person.
Yeah. And I really hope not, because he is a super smart guy. And I think a lot of the stuff he says makes a lot of sense. You know, like he's one of the guys that, is very vocal about how damaging these anti-vaccination people are. And that's always good that there's somebody sane having a conversation in that space.
Yeah, he like it has a history of like standing up to like celebrities who think that they're like smarter than a guy who went to medical school for 30 years. Like he, on Loveline, like anytime somebody would be like, oh, you know, somebody would say, you know, heroin's not bad for you, you know, just go ahead and do it, like, or whatever it would be, or you know, anti-vaxxers or like whoever, he would quickly stand up to them no matter how famous they were. And he's also a doctor who's like, yeah, like go ahead and smoke weed, do whatever you want, like it's not, you're not gonna die from it, have fun. So you know, he's not you know, dogmatic, and I think that's cool.
Yeah
he took the Sanjay Gupta approach to weed, so
yeah,
good on him for that.
So yeah, those are our all-star teams of podcasting for the 2015 season. Good hustle, everybody. Good hustle.
Thanks.
And that leads us to the end of the show. We've gone a little bit over, but we had to get everything out. And yeah, so that's basically the end. Sean Byron, you're on Junk Fod Diner.
Yes, I am on Junk Frog Diner.
So the kids can listen to that show at junkfoddiner.com.
Just Google for midgets or the rats of humans and you'll probably find us.
Yeah, we should buy that URL, actually, now that I think about it.
I like it. Sure.
that's junkfooddiner.com. Listen to that. And then also listen to us. You know, Pool Party. Find us at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Also find Junk Food Dinner on Facebook. It's there. Also listen to the podcasts we just mentioned.
Yep. Don't do heroin.
Do not do heroin.
Right.
Follow Mr. Frisbee on Twitter at Cumulus Frisbee. Follow me at Final Parker. Be our friends on Facebook. Like us and review us and rate us on iTunes, all that kind of stuff. You know what's going on here. You know the drill. You know the score. So until next week, this is Parker for Cumulus and Sean Byron saying thanks for having fun.
Adios.
Anything you'd like to say, Mr. Frisbee?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We love you.
Old Cumulus Frisbee, they call me.